堂听 class.com。
Model Test 10, Part 3, Listening Comprehension, Section A.
Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said.Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. I kept looking for Mary at the seminar, but never did see her. I can't imagine she forgot about it. She'd been talking about it for weeks.
Oh, she didn't. It's just that she caught a really bad cold a couple of days ago.
What can be inferred about Mary from the conversation?
Question 12. I have plenty of good ideas, Professor Johnson, but haven't been able to organize them clearly. May I give you the paper a few days late?
You know that I always prefer a well-written paper, even if it is late.
What does the man mean?
Question 13. How did your philosophy test go?
I couldn't feel better about it. The questions were not as difficult as I had imagined, and I seemed to find the answer for each of them.
What did the woman think of the philosophy test?Question 14. I still need to wait for the clerk to come back and make some copies of this paper for me.
Why bother him? I'll show you how easy it is to work the machine.
What is the woman going to do?
Question 15. Well, Jack, I would offer you another drink, but I have guests coming and I haven't begun to prepare the dinner. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for the drink. It has been nice seeing you, too.
Why does the woman mention her dinner guests?Question 16. Are you going to be able to come with us to a football match this evening?
I'd love to, but my history assignment is due tomorrow, and I still have 2 chapters unfinished.
What will the man probably do this evening?
Question 17. My manager said we're going to have some layoffs soon.
Will you be let go? If so, then we need to borrow some money to pay the bills.
What does the woman want to know? Question 18. Vicky, you've really done wonders with this place. How long have you been here now?
Almost a year. We moved in last fall and have been working on fixing it up ever since. Come and have a look at our kitchen.
What are the speakers talking about? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
What do you plan to do after you finish your university work?
I've got a friend in Germany who says that he can get me a job with a large multinational company here in Shanghai.
So you'll work here?
Well, I can earn a very good salary and get good experience.
Would you leave for a foreign country if they ask you to go?
It depends what they want and how long they want me to stay away from home.
Did you know that some people say that both foreign companies and foreign countries take the most talented people away from their homes in developing countries on purpose?
Why would they do that?
Highly educated people often make large contributions to both a country's economy and society.
So it would be to the advantages of a country to allow skilled immigrants in.
Yes, of course it would.
But then why don't developed countries let in more skilled workers?
Many reasons, really. For one, people who live in a developed country don't always like to see high-wage jobs go to people who have just arrived from another nation. And developing countries don't want highly skilled workers to leave.
In any event, it doesn't matter to me. I'd leave Shanghai for a while, but I wouldn't want to move to another country permanently.
I can understand that.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What does the man plan to do after he graduates?
Question 20. Why does the man want to work in Shanghai?
Question 21. What does the woman say about foreign companies and foreign countries?
Question 22. What does the man think about moving to another country permanently?
Conversation 2.
Professor Murphy, can you spare a few minutes?
Actually, I'm on my way to an appointment with a student, so please make this quick.
My name is Josh Ryan, and I'm in your classical political theory class at 2:00.
Oh yes, I recall now. You always ask excellent questions about the lecture. I can tell that you consistently do the readings for the day. What can I do for you, Josh?
I'm very interested in the works of John Locke. But the textbook didn't go into detail about him. Would you kindly suggest where I can find supplemental reading in this field?
You're in luck. I wrote my doctoral essay on Locke, so I have a whole library on his writings. I'll put together a reading list, and you can look at which specific books you are interested in. I'll bring the list with me to class tomorrow. Then choose a few books, and I'll bring those particular books to the following class so you can borrow them.
Thank you very much, Professor Murphy. I didn't expect this much help.
I'm always pleased to help an enthusiastic student. I hope that you enjoy Locke's writings and consider majoring in politics. You will learn about many different political philosophies that might interest you.
Yes, I'm definitely considering it.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. Why did Josh Ryan speak to Professor Murphy?
Question 24. What does Professor Murphy teach?
Question 25. What can be inferred about Josh?
Section B.
Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Good afternoon. Today I want to say something about Alaska. One thing that concerns me most is the future of the Alaskan environment. About 25 years ago, before going on a wilderness research trip, I visited Anchorage, the largest city in Alaska. It was then a small city of 40,000 inhabitants, surrounded by a quiet wilderness. When I made a recent trip to update my earlier work, I found amazing changes. Anchorage now has 180,000 people, more than four times as many as in 1980. There are skyscrapers, shopping centers, and all the accompanying crowds and traffic jams. The forests and mountains are still nearby, but they seem diminished by the city's great size. The discovery of oil in 1968 on the north slope of Alaska caused many of these changes. The construction of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline brought increased wealth to the state. However, there have been too many people moving to Alaska in a very short period to work on the pipeline. There is not enough housing or transportation. I think Alaska must make important decisions soon. Alaskans need to decide how to develop their natural resources and mineral wealth without destroying the wilderness and harming the wildlife.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What concerns the speaker most?
Question 27. What is the greatest change of Anchorage that surprised the speaker?
Question 28. What is the cause of the recent changes in Alaska? Passage 2.
One of the reasons for our success as a species is our ability to eat and thrive on a large variety of foods. Many animal species have become extinct or are on the edge of extinction, partly because they lack this adaptability. They need to feed on a particular kind of plant or a particular kind of animal or insect. If this source of food is for any reason removed, then the animal concerned is unable to change to a different diet. Gradually, it becomes extinct. We know that many animal species have died out, but so have some human species, such as the early form of man that is called Neanderthal man. Perhaps part of the reason for his failure to survive was his lack of adaptability in diet. But modern man is almost entirely free from the limitation of any particular food requirements. We are able to survive on a wide variety of foods, both animal and vegetable. For example, the Eskimos are almost totally meat-eaters. Seal, bear, whale meat, and fish form their whole diet. The Aborigines of Australia, living in dry desert regions, have learned to survive by making use of forms of insect life as food to supplement their diet of fruits and roots. Men have learned to survive in the deserts and in dense rainforests. They have learned to raise domestic animals, which live at high altitudes, so that they can inhabit the mountainous regions of the world like Tibet. And they have made the coconut their chief food on the Pacific Islands.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What can we learn about the ability to eat various foods?
Question 30. Why does the speaker quote the examples of the Eskimos and Aborigines?
Question 31. What is coconut according to the passage? Passage 3.
Ben Johnson was the name of the candidate defeated by George Washington in the 1780 presidential race. Nicknamed the Giant of a Man, Johnson was massive in stature, and he had a large head in proportion to his body. Despite his physical appearance, Johnson was an alarming candidate. It was only a few years prior that Johnson had defeated some of Washington's attempts to change the territorial areas of Virginia. During that political contest, the Washington-Johnson debates were popular throughout the whole country. At the time, the issue of state self-government was foremost in the minds of many citizens. One reason Johnson was defeated in his bid for presidency was the stand he took on the issue of federalism. The people of the incorporated states, angry over his position, voted almost completely for Washington. If Johnson had been willing to change some of his positions on the issue, he may have won the presidency. Although he lost the election, Johnson continued to serve the government. Soon after the election of 1780, the Mexican Independence War began. Johnson offered his services to the president that had defeated him, and he died from illness during the middle of the war. Even though Johnson never did become president, he will always be remembered as a great early American.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. When did Washington defeat Johnson for the presidency?
Question 33. Why was Johnson called the giant of a man?
Question 34. What was true of the debates about Virginia's territorial area?
Question 35. What is the major topic of this passage?
Section C.
Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
What can hospital do to help patients recover faster from illness? Apart from nursing and medicine, one way that is getting more attention is to improve the quality of the environment in hospitals. Now, some of Britain's most talented artists have been called in to transform older hospitals. Of the 2,500 National Health Service hospitals in Britain, almost 100 now have large collections of contemporary art in corridors, waiting areas, and treatment rooms. These recent creative ideas owe a great deal to one artist, Peter Senior. He set up his studio at a Manchester hospital in northeastern England during the early 1970s. He felt the artist had lost his place in modern society and that art should be enjoyed by a wider audience. A typical hospital waiting room might have as many as 5,000 visitors each week. What better place to hold regular exhibitions of art? Senior was so popular that he was soon joined by 6 young art school graduates. The effect was striking. Now, in the corridors and waiting rooms, the visitors have a full view of fresh colors, amusing images, and peaceful courtyards. The quality of the environment may reduce the expensive drugs when a patient is recovering from an illness. According to a study, patients who had a view of a garden needed half the number of strong painkillers compared with patients who had only a brick wall to look at.
Now the passage will be read again.
What can hospital do to help patients recover faster from illness? Apart from nursing and medicine, one way that is getting more attention is to improve the quality of the environment in hospitals. Now, some of Britain's most talented artists have been called in to transform older hospitals. Of the 2,500 National Health Service hospitals in Britain, almost 100 now have large collections of contemporary art in corridors, waiting areas, and treatment rooms. These recent creative ideas owe a great deal to one artist, Peter Senior. He set up his studio at a Manchester hospital in northeastern England during the early 1970s. He felt the artist had lost his place in modern society. And that art should be enjoyed by a wider audience. A typical hospital waiting room might have as many as 5,000 visitors each week. What better place to hold regular exhibitions of art? Senior was so popular that he was soon joined by 6 young art school graduates. The effect was striking. Now, in the corridors and waiting rooms, the visitors have a full view of fresh colors, amusing images, and peaceful courtyards. The quality of the environment may reduce the expensive drugs when a patient is recovering from an illness. According to a study, patients who had a view of a garden needed half the number of strong painkillers compared with patients who had only a brick wall to look at.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
What can hospital do to help patients recover faster from illness? Apart from nursing and medicine, one way that is getting more attention is to improve the quality of the environment in hospitals. Now, some of Britain's most talented artists have been called in to transform older hospitals. Of the 2,500 National Health Service hospitals in Britain, almost 100 now have large collections of contemporary art in corridors, waiting areas, and treatment rooms. These recent creative ideas owe a great deal to one artist, Peter Senior. He set up his studio at a Manchester hospital in northeastern England during the early 1970s. He felt the artist had lost his place in modern society and that art should be enjoyed by a wider audience. A typical hospital waiting room might have as many as 5,000 visitors each week. What better place to hold regular exhibitions of art? Senior was so popular that he was soon joined by 6 young art school graduates. The effect was striking. Now, in the corridors and waiting rooms, the visitors have a full view of fresh colors, amusing images, and peaceful courtyards. The quality of the environment may reduce the expensive drugs when a patient is recovering from an illness. According to a study, patients who had a view of a garden needed half the number of strong painkillers compared with patients who had only a brick wall to look at.
This is the end of listening comprehension.